Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
Human beings like associating ourselves with whomever is winning. Or whomever appears to be winning. Because oftentimes, we don't always even know what the score is. We don't even know who's winning and who's not.
Stay all day, doctor.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. With that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game. I have something free for you. The Super You, my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence. I want to send you a free copy of that book, physical, not digital, not a PDF. All you need to do is go to DreAllDay.com/free and I'll send you a free copy of The Super You. You take care of the shipping. Again, that's my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence called The Super You. Go to DreAllDay.com/free. And I'll send you a copy of that book. Do it now. Let's get to it. You're better right now than you were 30 seconds ago because you are tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to occur. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. And today's topic is how winning changes everything. Winning changes everything. This is a Work On Your Game podcast. And in case you didn't know, in case you've been listening to this podcast and living under a rock at the exact same time, you know, I come from the background of being an athlete, and in sports, the scoreboard is the king. All right, the scoreboard determines who can talk trash and who can't, who won and who didn't, who was a success and who needs to work on their game and get better. Winning changes everything. The reason that I thought of this topic is actually watching a sporting event a couple weeks ago, and I want to get to that individual in a moment. But there are a couple other people who've been in the news recently and some time ago that maybe we haven't even thought about in a while, and I thought about how winning is really what, I don't know if you want to call it, saved them or kept them from being in a, I guess what we would call a bad spot. First of all, Urban Meyer, who's the coach of the Ohio State University football team. He was not being charged. He wasn't under suspicion of actually doing anything directly wrong in a situation. One of his assistant coaches had been accused of domestic violence against his wife, and Urban, for whatever reason, didn't take the action that many people, including his bosses, thought he should have taken. He didn't get fired, but he got suspended for about 3 games, and he came back. And by the point that you're listening to this, he's been coaching his team for the majority of the season. He missed those 3 games. They won those 3 games. They're still doing pretty good. And I remember writing in the Daily Game. If you're not reading the Daily Game every day, you need to make sure you're on my email list. Go to DreAllDay.com/game. So you're on the email list, so you get that email. But I remember writing when the situation first happened. This is before the private investigation and before any findings had come out and before any penalties had been handed out. I said, Urban Meyer is coaching a football program that's really damn good. They win a lot of games. They compete for national championships. And he's been a successful coach everywhere that he's coached to this point in his career. He's too successful for them to fire him. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive to anyone who may have anyone who feels or felt the pain of this woman who was accusing her estranged husband of domestic violence. But the facts are the facts. That's really what we're talking about here today. And remember, the topic is winning changes everything. Him being such a winner, so successful at what he does at his job, I knew they weren't going to fire him. Maybe they hit him with a fine. Maybe he had to pay some money. Maybe he would get suspended like he got suspended. Maybe they would lose some scholarships or something like that. It would be, I guess, what we call a metaphorical slap on the wrist. He was not going to lose his job because, number one, he hadn't done anything. He was not the one who was being accused, number one. And number two, there's no way they were going to fire that guy being as successful as he was, combined with the quote-unquote crime that he had committed to this point. Kobe Bryant. A lot of people don't even remember that Kobe Bryant was charged with sexual assault back in 2003 in Colorado in the offseason. And he was going to go to trial. They ended up not going to trial. He settled out of court. He issued an apology. I remember he was on TV apologizing to his wife in a press conference, and he gave her this really big ring that cost millions of dollars. I don't know why he did that on TV, but he did. But Kobe Bryant, after the allegations, the accusations, and he got up from under that situation, Kobe Bryant just got better. He got better at doing his job, which was playing basketball. He created a new narrative for himself. For a while, that was the narrative, and people were using that against him. But Kobe went and kept doing his job better, kept building his legacy, kept building his resume, kept building his track record of what he did until it got to the point where his track record basically overshadowed anything negative you could say about him. His positive results, his positive resume overshadowed all the negative stuff. Why? Because Kobe Bryant was winning. And now when I say winning, I'm not just talking about winning games for the LA Lakers and playing basketball, but Kobe Bryant was stacking success on top of success on top of success. And winning changes that conversation. That's the point that I'm making here. And the individual that led me to actually writing out this episode that you're listening to here today was Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods, back in 2009 when it happened, Tiger Woods, news comes out he was in a car accident. And it turns out he was in a car accident because his wife was chasing him as he was trying to get out of his home, out of his driveway, chasing him with a golf club because she found out that he had been stepping out on her, having some extramarital affairs. And then all the news came out and all these women came forward. I had sex with Tiger. It was looking pretty bad for Tiger Woods. Now, at this time, he was also not in great physical shape. So he was going to rehab and refixing his body because he had dealt with a lot of injuries. And at this time, Tiger Woods comes out and he apologizes. He issued an apology. He apologized to the PGA. He apologized to fellow golfers. He apologized to his sponsors like Nike, McDonald's, whoever was sponsoring him. He apologized. It's like he was making an apology to the general public, which I couldn't really understand. Tiger Woods, you cheated on your wife. Why are you apologizing to the PGA? You didn't cheat on them. You didn't cheat on Nike. You didn't cheat on the general public. You didn't cheat on anybody. Only people who he needed to be talking to was his kids and his wife. Nobody else was involved in that situation, but he issued this public apology, which I still to this day do not understand why he did that, but he did it. And at that time, for a good amount of time, a lot of people had a lot of negative stuff to say about Tiger Woods. And he was a convenient target. He wasn't playing golf, so he couldn't go out there and win. So he couldn't change everything with winning, which is today's topic. And he had done something that many people were playing moral police and thumbing their nose at Tiger for this. And this was early, early days of social media. I can only imagine if that had happened like today, what kind of vitriol would have been thrown at Tiger Woods. But anyway, it happened back then, 2009 into 2010. He missed some golf time. He had all these injuries that he was dealing with. Then he had another setback with some kind of substance abuse that he had maybe a year or two ago. But finally, in September of 2018, Tiger Woods won a golf tournament. It was the PGA Championship tournament. And I actually watched the last round of this tournament. Tiger held the lead throughout the 4 days, the way golf tournaments go. They go 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. Tiger had held the lead for the majority of the tournament. He ends up winning the tournament. And I remember watching Tiger. One of the most interesting things about golf, I don't golf at all. I've been to the driving range a few times, but I didn't do too much driving, if y'all know what I'm talking about. I like watching when the golfer, and usually it's Tiger. I didn't see any of the other legendary golfers like a Jack Nicklaus or anything like that. But it's all, actually every time that I've seen it is Tiger. When they're walking across the course to the next hole or one of the final holes of a tournament, and it's looking like they're going to win, all the people who are following the golfer just so they can watch them sink the hole that closes the tournament and cheer them on. There were so many people walking behind Tiger Woods as he walked to the 18th hole so he can finish out this tournament and win the tournament as he ended up winning. And I remember watching that and listening to the golf analysts who were doing the play-by-play, for lack of a better, hole by hole, I guess what they call it in golf. And I remember watching all these people walk behind Tiger, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many of these same individuals had some not so nice things to say about Tiger about 10 years ago when he got outed for cheating on his wife and he was injured and he wasn't winning golf tournaments. And a lot of people have said, because he was having back injuries, knee injuries, he had all kinds of injuries. And a lot of people were saying Tiger Woods is done. Now, he's not going to go any further. He's not going to come back in golf. He's mentally lost it. He doesn't have the edge anymore. There's a lot of negative stuff being said about Tiger Woods. I know not everybody in that crowd was supporting Tiger Woods or even staying neutral on Tiger Woods back then when he looked to be quote unquote losing. All right, he was in a pretty bad losing position. He had publicly news had come out that he had done something that most people would agree is not a good thing. He wasn't able to do the thing that made him famous and actually win to erase it, kind of like Kobe. During the year that he was facing that charge for sexual assault, Kobe was still playing for the Lakers, making game winning shots, scoring 30 points in a game, getting highlights on the internet. Actually, it was mostly on TV at that time. Kobe was still able to go do the thing that made him Kobe. Tiger Woods wasn't able to do the thing that made him Tiger. So the only thing you could associate with his name at that time was the scandal that he had been through. And he wasn't even on trial. The funny thing is, and then Tiger Woods now, almost 10 years later, he wins this tournament. Now everybody's cheering for him. Everybody's so happy for him. Everybody's a fan of Tiger Woods all over again. And it reminded me of the 95% rule that I talked about a week ago. 95% of people are going to be your fan when you're winning. That same 95% will be leading the charge of negative talk about you, ridicule against you when you're losing. So you got to be very careful who and what you're listening to, whether you are winning or losing, or maybe nobody's paying attention to you at all. And today's topic again, after that introduction, winning changes everything. Let's get into the points. Number one, understand the business. And when I say any type of businesses, whether that be a sponsor, an advertiser, a league, etc., all of them, you know what they care about? Making money and drawing, paying people to their products and services. That's what businesses care about. That's what makes them a business. If they're not making money and they're not drawing people, human beings like me and you, to pay for whatever it is they're offering, their goods and services, then they wouldn't be in business. Colin Kaepernick's a player. Well, I guess we can still call him a player. He's a football player who's currently, as of this recording, unemployed. Maybe he'll be employed by the time you listen to this. After he started his kneeling protest with the NFL and it became a whole lot of other things. And we know recently he's been in a Nike campaign that came out on Labor Day. The reason Colin Kaepernick remains unsigned, at least as of today when I'm recording this, is not necessarily because he took a knee. Let me tell you why he's unsigned. Is because he is just enough below the Mendoza line of being so good that they would have to deal with it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that Colin Kaepernick's a bad football player. It's just that he isn't so good that they would need to have him on the team anyway and say, all right, yeah, he did this thing and some people are going to be mad and some people are going to have a problem with it and the president's going to say this and all this other baggage that's going to come with this situation. But you know what? We still need this guy on the roster. He's just below the Mendoza line for that. And if you disagree with that, you tell me. Because we can just say if Odell Beckham Jr. or Tom Brady or Antonio Brown was doing the same thing that Colin Kaepernick done, they still have a job in the NFL. Remember, today's topic is winning changes everything. Okay, so I'm not trying to discuss the whole thing around the Kaepernick situation. I've written about it extensively if you want to go to dreallday.com. on my blog and read about it. But the point is, winning changes everything. If you're winning, and again, winning, I'm not necessarily talking about you got more points on the scoreboard. Winning meaning you have more success, you will lead to more success. People perceive you as intricate, as very important to them winning, to a business making more money, drawing more fans, drawing more customers. If you're that person, it doesn't matter what kind of quote unquote baggage comes with you, people are going to put up with it anyway. All right, guaranteed he'd still be on the team. He'd be playing for somebody. Somebody be signing him to a contract. Why? Because these guys, Odell Beckham Jr., Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, they help a lot of people make money. They help a lot of businesses make money. And that's what we're talking about here. The motives of a business. That's what business is about. Making money. If you're contributing to making money or it seems you're contributing to making money, we're going to deal with you. I wrote an article when the Kaepernick ad came out. Nike is doing this not because they're woke. Not because they're part of the quote-unquote resistance, not because they're down with any cause, it's because they see it, this is a way to make money. And they know that people that are going to love this ad are going to spend more money on Nike, hopefully, at least that's the bet that they're making. And the people who hate this ad, they ain't part of the demographic we're trying to get buying our stuff anyway. So it doesn't matter if they're mad. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much because we're going to balance that out and actually outweigh it with the people who are going to be happy and going to buy more of our stuff simply because we're aligning with this individual. That's business, people. This is what we're talking about here. This is business. Point number two. Today's topic is winning changes everything. Understand that human beings, just talked about what businesses are driven by. Let's talk about what human beings are driven by. Individual people, whether you work at a company, whether you're unemployed, whether you have your own business, whether you are not a businessman, but you're a business man. People are driven by self-interest. All of us. You are driven by self-interest. I am driven by self-interest. The person to your right, your next door neighbor, the school bus driver, the police officer on your block, all of us are driven by self-interest. Here's a self-evident self-interest. Let me give you one right here so you understand. Human beings like associating ourselves with whomever is winning or whomever appears to be winning. Because oftentimes we don't always even know what the score is. We don't even know who's winning and who's not. We like being around whoever appears to be. If it seems like you're winning, people want to be around you. Is this true or is it not? And whoever you want to be around, whoever you like to associate yourself with, usually is because they're winning. You don't look for people who ain't winning. You don't look for the loser, do you? You hang with people who are winning. When you look up a YouTube video, everybody here has been on YouTube. You go on YouTube and you look up a certain subject and you want to see a video on that subject and you see two different videos offering answers to whatever it is you're asking for. One video has 1,000 views and the other one has 800,000 views. Which one are you watching? You're going to watch the one that appears to be winning. The one with 800,000 views. Why is that? Because it looks like more other people have chosen that thing. Human beings, we are social creatures. We have a tendency to follow the crowd. All of us do. Yes, you can be a leader and still follow the crowd. We're looking at whatever's winning. We align ourselves with winning. Notorious B.I.G. said in one of his songs, he said, "Heart throb never, I'm black and ugly as ever. However, however, I stay Gucci down to the socks, rings and watch filled with rocks." The point that he was making in the song was, even though I'm not this drop-dead gorgeous guy, I'm really dark in a way that I guess most people would not look at as attractive. I'm an ugly individual, and I guess he was being tongue-in-cheek in saying that. But he said, however, I wear these really nice clothes. I got these really nice diamonds and this really nice jewelry that I wear. I'm a famous individual. It appears that I am successful. It appears that I am winning. So therefore, I still get my fair share of social interaction from the ladies, despite all of these marks that could be marked against me. And he was putting it out there on Front Street himself. The point that I'm making here is human beings are driven by self-interest. We want to be around whoever appears to be winning. You make yourself appear to be winning and successful, people will want to align with you just because. Point number three. Today's topic is winning changes everything. 95% rule. Just talked about this a week ago on this podcast. 95% rule is that people will deal with, ignore, and explain away your baggage as long as you are contributing to their self-interest. So you're noticing how these points are going together. See, whether we're talking about a business or we're talking about an individual person, people will deal with your baggage, your nonsense, your BS, your garbage, whatever it is. They will ignore it if they got to. They will explain it away if pressed, as long as you are contributing to their self-interest. As a business, that means you're making them money, making them look good in whatever way. As an individual, you're providing them whatever it is that makes them feel good. As soon as you're not doing this anymore, and or people or a business does not need you, all of those exact same things become a problem. I mentioned before, Allen Iverson, legendary Hall of Fame basketball player who played basketball majority of his career for the Philadelphia 76ers, my hometown team. Allen Iverson had baggage. We'll just use the phrase, quote unquote, baggage with him the whole time he was in the NBA. He had some unsavory people who he used to hang with. He had some bad habits. He didn't like practicing. We're talking about practice. Allen Iverson had some baggage with him the whole time he was in the NBA. But from the time that he came into the league until for about a good 10 years or so, people just swept that baggage under the rug. People just let it go. People dealt with it. People found ways to explain it away or just had to live with it simply because Allen Iverson was so damn good at basketball, you just had to deal with his baggage. Right? You ain't have no choice. This guy's so damn good. If we don't have him on our team, he's going to get on another team. And he's going to be so good. We're going to be pissed that we let him off our team. So you know what? We're just going to deal with this baggage. But as soon as Allen Iverson's basketball skills started to erode, as soon as he couldn't dominate a game the way that he used to, all of that baggage became news. All of that baggage became, oh, this guy doesn't have good practice habits. All of that baggage became, oh, this guy has a bad attitude. All of that became, oh, this guy, he doesn't like to show up on time. All of it became, he's kind of poisoning the other players on his team. All of it became an issue all of a sudden. All the things that became an issue with Allen Iverson late in his NBA career, those things were there the entire time he was in the league. It was only when he couldn't perform anymore that it became a problem. And this is the thing that I want you to keep in mind. And today's topic, again, is winning changes everything. When what you're doing is serving people, all that extra stuff you can get away with. But as soon as it's not serving people anymore, it's going to become a thing. It's going to become a problem. And you're going to either need to adapt or you're going to have a long and hard fall And Allen Iverson, as legendary as he ended his basketball career playing basketball, not even in the NBA. He was playing overseas. Not because he didn't become a complete bum in basketball. He wasn't as great as he had been during his, let's say, his MVP years. He was a little bit lesser than that, and that happens to all basketball players. I mean, speaking of basketball, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, in his last couple of years in the league, he was getting injured. He tore his Achilles. He had a knee issue. He was not the same player. He wasn't making good percentage of shots from the field or any of that stuff, but he was still on the Lakers. He was still this beloved hero. The Lakers were still giving him big contracts at the end of his career. What was the difference between him and Allen Iverson? They came into the league the exact same time. The difference was Kobe didn't have as much baggage, first of all. And second of all, Kobe Bryant had created that narrative of winning. Kobe Bryant did a whole lot of winning in his career, more than Allen Iverson did. And the difference between the end of their career shows you exactly what I mean. Point number four, today's topic, winning changes everything. What does all this mean for you? Everything that I've said here in today's episode, it means you do not need to become perfect at what you do. That's not what I'm saying here. You don't even need to aim to get closer to perfection from where you are right now. I mean, it'd be great if you did. It'd be great if you continued to work on your game and you did that, but you don't need to do that. You don't need to follow the rules more closely. If you thought maybe that's what I mean, that maybe you need to get, don't go to Allen Iverson, right, and kind of follow the rules and show up to practice and work hard and all of that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to do that either. Really? Really. You don't even need to be that much better than you already are. Yes, you heard me correctly. You do not even necessarily need to get that much better than where you are right now, though you should get better and work on your game, okay? All you need to do is get your name or your work or your product or your service or your likeness aligned with the ideas of success, achievement, and winning. Whether that means you need to have a certain job, whether it means you need to get one big time accomplishment on your resume, whether it means you need to stand next to someone or something who is already in a position of winning. And what will happen when you do this thing? People will come to see you differently. They'll see you in a different light, even though nothing has actually changed. See, when people put you mentally in the category of winner, success, achieving individual, when they put you in that category, usually they're not going to change you out of that category unless something catastrophic happens, unless something really big that jolts people out of their zone of thinking about themselves. They're going to put you in a certain category, and they're going to keep you in that category, and it's going to multiply everything that you do by 20. Everything that you do positive, everything that could look positive on you, be multiplied by 20 when you are associated with winning, achievement, and success in another person's mind. And the more people you get thinking that way, the harder it will be for you to break that. The harder it will be for you to lose it. And that's why winning changes everything. Get yourself aligned with success, with somebody who is winning, with even one big achievement under your belt. You can just use that achievement for the rest of your life. You ever seen somebody or heard of somebody like that? They had this one big achievement. It might have been 20 years ago. Might have been 30 years ago. They might have only had this achievement for a day or a week or a month, maybe even a year, and they're 45 years old. But that 1 year of achievement, they're still utilizing it this day, and it's still producing results for them to this very day. You ever heard of or seen anyone like that? Maybe you're that person. And I'm not telling you that you're wrong. I'm just telling you how winning changes everything. Let's recap today's topic, which is, again, winning changes everything. Number one, businesses, being a sponsor, a league, an advertiser, a company, they care about making money and drawing people to their products and services. If you want a business to be aligned with you, all you got to do is help them achieve their outcome, achieve their mission statement every single day, and they'll deal with whatever BS you bring with you because you're helping them achieve their mission. Now, as soon as you're not helping achieve that mission, now you got problems. Point number two, people are driven by self-interest the same way a business is. All right, human beings like aligning themselves with whomever seems to be winning and successful and achieving. And when I say people, I'm talking about you. All right, we like to align ourselves with whomever is winning. We're fans of the best players and the best singers and the people who seem to be the most popular. Why is that? Because we align ourselves with winning. It's just part of our drive as human beings. It's a part of our wiring as human beings. All right. Notorious B.I.G. said, heartthrob never, black and ugly as ever. However, I'm still winning. So therefore, despite all these marks against me that I'm bringing up myself, I'm still successful. Point number three, the 95% rule. People will deal with, ignore, and explain away your bag as long as you are contributing to their self-interest, their bottom line, helping them achieve their mission, whatever their mission happens to be, even if they can't articulate that mission. But as soon as they don't need you, all of that stuff becomes a problem. And point number four, what does all this mean for you? You don't need to become perfect or get closer to perfect. You don't need to follow the rules. You don't even need to be that much better than you already are, even though you should do all of those things, but you don't necessarily need them for the purpose of today's topic. All you need to do is get your name, your work, your likeness, your product, your service aligned with success, achievement, and winning. Whether that's a certain job, a big time accomplishment, standing next to somebody who's already winning, and people will come to see you differently, even though nothing has actually changed. Winning changes all of it. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. How would you like to be directly coached by me? I've opened up the enrollment for my game group, where you will not only have monthly coaching calls live with me on video, you'll also get full access to my 12-module Bulletproof Mindset course, which has 90-plus lessons in it, my daily game emails to your inbox every morning, and much, much more. If you're interested in joining the game group and being coached directly by me, Dre All Day, go to DreAllDay.com/GG for the game group. That's DreAllDay.com/GG for the game group. You want that Bulletproof Mindset course, my daily game emails every day, and get coached directly, go to DreAllDay.com/GG for the game group. Enrollment is limited. Since we don't have comments or live interaction here, I created a survey so I can learn more about my audience, your needs, your wants, your desires, and how I can best serve you moving forward. So please go to DreAllDay.com/survey and take the Work On Your Game podcast survey so I can learn more about those things that I just said and better tailor future content for you. I appreciate it. DreAllDay.com/survey. Take it now. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.